selling your back catalog, and a huge bonus for School of Podcasting members on today's episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements.
It's the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
All right, welcome to the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. I am Dave Jackson, and let's just get to the point, shall we? First of all, let's get that contact information out of the way. If you want to call in your comments, it's 888-563-3228. Email me at dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. And, of course, our show notes are at shownotes.schoolofpodcasting.com. Are you ready for this one, though? I've come up... Well, first of all, on today, we're going to be talking with Bob from thehistoryaccordingtobob.com. And he's a guy that has put into practice what I've kind of been talking about, that there may be times when you don't want to carry your full back catalog online. And the reason for that would be if you want to sell it. And that's exactly what Bob is doing. And we'll hear Bob and how he got into it and more about that in just a second. But got some exciting news. This is very cool. Very, very happy about this. Okay, November 5th, USA Today is launching the Blogger and Podcaster Guide. Think of it as kind of a TV guide for blogs and podcasts. And it's going to run on both the homepage of usatoday.com. Now, that gets about 10.4 unique visitors daily. And then they're also going to have a once-a-week version of this in the print version, which is an additional 5.2 million readers. So think about that. I mean, this has tremendous potential to be like the place to have your podcast listed, okay? Now, this is, again, launching November 5th. And, yeah, I've worked out a deal. Members of the School of Podcasting get in the online version for 1 month free. How cool is that? I know. Now, again, that's a $50 savings. It's $50 a month for the online version. The cool thing about this, from what I understand, is let's say you're typing a story at USA Today and you look up, Iraq or Britney Spears. If there's a podcast that relates to whatever you're looking at, it's going to have a thing. Hey, would you like to listen to a podcast about such and such? How cool is that? So it's going to be $50 to list your podcast in this. But, again, School of Podcasting members... You get that first $50, that first month, free. Now, if you want the... And after that, I'll have a coupon code. So if you want to continue in there, 20% off. If you want in the printed version, that's normally going to be 195 bones. Again, 5.2 readers, the printed version. And instead of paying 195, you get a 25% coupon code for members of the School of Podcasting. So you only pay 145 to be in the printed version. So it's a very cool way to promote your podcast, and so I just want to let that add that to the list of things, like, you know, and I could go on about that. Go to schoolpodcasting.com. I don't want to bore anybody that's not interested about being a member, but if they think about it, it's only $20 a month, and I just saved you $50. That's right. So being a member of the School of Podcasting will now put you at a plus 30, and you get your podcast promoted. So that's very, very cool. So that's, I will shut up. Enough pimping about the School of Podcasting. I know some of you are like, ugh, enough with the whole free version, paid version, blah, blah, blah. But as one of the things I do, I try to find value-added services, and I try to get discounts. And in this case, we got 100% discount on the first month. So very, very cool. All right. So today, we are talking with Bob from historyaccordingtobob.com. And it's not a super long interview, but I ask him a lot of questions, so... Check this out. Again, the interesting thing that Bob is doing, he's got a quick, short podcast, and then he's allowing people to sell it via download, via CD, via kind of make your own album CD, via topic. It's very, very cool. And when I saw that, I went, wow, this is unique. And I want to get a little bit of the behind the scenes with Bob. So here's my interview with, you guessed it, Bob. The Skype phone from History According to Bob. We have Bog Packett. Bog has really caught my eye because I've mentioned to people before that there are websites like Libsyn and things like that where you can have an unlimited amount of hosting. And I said, really, the only time I could think of that you wouldn't want this huge back catalog. And actually, Bob does have a big, huge back catalog. I said, but in some cases, you may want to sell your back catalog. And we happened to be on a School of Podcasting webinar, and somebody on the phone said, hey, have you ever heard of History According to Bob? And I'm like, no, I never have. And I went over to historyaccordingtobob.com and checked it out, and it's a really interesting podcast. And so, Bob, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
And
What can I do for you?
Well, tell us a little bit. How did you get into podcasting? How did you find out about it?
Well, it's my wife's fault.
Okay.
Because I've taught for eons. I taught 30 years at the high school here in Kansas City at Park Hill High School, and then I did. I've been a part-time professor at one of the community colleges, and now I've retired from teaching, and I spend more time working at the community college. And so I've taught all sorts of different classes and all kinds of things, and everyone will tell you that I can talk and tell stories forever. Well, my wife, who does web design, when podcasting first started coming out, she comes in and says, you know, this has you written all over it. And I go, well, what do you mean? She says, well, you know, if there's anybody who likes to talk, it's you. Why don't we try doing something like that? And I couldn't conceive of people really being that interested, because I use a lot of visuals and artifacts and things in class. So I had a handheld MP3 player recorder. And so I would just sit downstairs in my den and pick a topic and just kind of talk into it. And then I would give it to her, and then she created a website for it. And the first week, I think, I started on the Ides of March 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I did something on they gave Julius Caesar a big funeral instead of just letting it go and let the family do it. And I think 30 people listened to it, and I was stunned. So we just kind of started doing that. I did a couple of them a week, and then more people started listening. And then I started doing one a day, well, 5 days a week, leaving the weekend. And what began to happen was we went through all of our bandwidth in March in 2 weeks. So then we got another site which had more bandwidth, and we went through that in 2 weeks. And more people were coming in. We had to put, my wife put a little begging button on the site. And one of the people operated a site where they hoped that, you know, you could put your content and stuff. And so they offered to let us use some space. And so that's helped out significantly. And it just continued from that point on. And I used to use a handheld recorder for about 6 months, and that's why some of the very early podcasts are a little strange. But eventually, one of my listeners said, "Well, why don't you try this?" And so I use Audacity now and just hook it up to the computer, so everything is just fine. But otherwise, the procedure is pretty much the same.
Yeah, that's the thing, because one of the things we always preach is that content is king, and while, you know, having kind of a slick, polished podcast can kind of help, as long as it's listenable, you can kind of get away with it. And it when the episodes I've listened to, it's, you know, you hit start, you talk, when you're done, you hit stop, and you post it, and there you go. And I was like, well, there's, again, more proof that content is king. You know, I've never had somebody say, Rob Walsh from Podcast 411 said, I've never had somebody say, you know, I had to quit listening to your podcast, I listen to your podcast because I love all of your transitions and your whooshes and your zaps and things like that. So it's the content.
Well, part of the reason it ends up being like that is because it's my intention is to make it useful for other people. So if you're a teacher somewhere, you know, you can literally just take that piece out and put it into your presentation. Whereas if it has all the fancy stuff in it, then you've got to do editing, you've got to do other things. I've had people who said, you know, that you ought to do a introduction and all of this. And I just kind of like to keep it really simple. It makes it a little more versatile to use in the classroom or some other location.
Right, and really, you do enough. It's not like you don't do any promotion. You say at the end of the podcast to go to your website, and you have your contact information and things like that. So, but it's you're right. It gives a little more versatility. When did you decide to start selling your shows? You have a really interesting way that you sell single shows, then you also have CDs, and then you have CD packages, right, and things like that. When did that come into play?
Well, that came into play after probably about halfway through, because part of my you know, a lot of people, you know, they have their stuff up and you know, you pay for it to begin with. Mm-hmm. And it's history, so theoretically anybody can find it if you read enough, so it still should be free. So the idea was, I have presented it and I put it out there for free, and then it's on our archive for a month. But you know, I have some expenses, but what I do with the money is I buy other stuff to use in my classroom that I use for demonstrations and things. And so I came up with the idea, you know, people will probably want to find these later on, and so I produce the different CDs, and then they're all alphabetical. Every 6 months, I do about 150 every 6 months, and then that's a set. And then I've done. So then people said, "Well, we'd like to have some that were just on that one particular topic." So then I create the little topic CDs, and that makes it a little more enjoyable. And it's still, I think they're very reasonably priced. You know, you get an hour's worth of stuff for, you know, less than 90 cents. I think is what it breaks down to. it was just, you know, to have. So if people wanted to get some extra stuff, or if they didn't want to fill their hard drive with all of that material, they would have it available.
Well, that was going to be my question. When you buy a CD, is it something you can stick in your car, or is it a CD with the MP3 files on it?
No, it's an MP3 file, so okay, that you can then put it into your computer. We initially thought, well, I can make some CDs that you can just put into your car. Now, well, then you only get an hour's worth of total minutes. Yeah. It's so significantly different. So it was just the MP3. And theoretically, you know, you keep, like, for example, if you go to the website and you want to just one of the podcasts, well, those are given out to you electronically. And I could electronically, and we have done that a time or two, where somebody really didn't want the CD piece, they just wanted all of the stuff, so you can set it up so they can then download it that direction. But I like I just like the CDs. I like having something hard that I can have in a folder and I can open it up. And if you've looked at the labels, it's my little goofy thing. I like putting taking an art picture or something out of history and then putting my little head on it, so it's kind of a little spoof. So it just looks, it's just something that I like. I don't know whether anybody else does, but it was, you know, a little something for me.
Well, there you go. Now, is this something that would you consider your selling of your back catalogs, is that something that's been working for you? Is it successful at this
point?
Well,
you know, it brings in, you know, it brings in a couple of $100 a month. I wouldn't want to sell it to anybody at any price. The object was, to some extent, what I've been doing, there's a project that I work on that part of this comes from. The original site name was actually Summa Historica. You can get to it. I bought both domain names. But I have all this material that I've amassed in all these years of teaching, from articles and worksheets and everything, and I've been digitalizing them so that my children, when they have children or whatever, that they could just have all this stuff, because so many times a teacher or professor, when they're gone, all that material's gone, you have to kind of rediscover it. And this kind of keeps it in a form that, you know, they may bore the kids, grandpa, oh, you want to listen to grandpa talk about the flaming pigs in ancient Rome, you know. And it was a way to try and take all that stuff that I've amassed and not have my wife or somebody who didn't know anything necessarily what to do with it, either give it away or toss it away or something else. We actually had one of the professors at the college who in the 60s, with his own money, got together a group of students and faculty, and they did radio style history things, like Socrates being poisoned and, you know, committing suicide, where they had parts and everything else, and then he made them into records, and they were quite good for the time period. And what I did at one point, I found out about them, and then every Sunday, until we'd gone through all 13 of them, I had turned those into MP3 files so that we could get those out. And quite a few people have picked them up to use them as dramatic representations of certain times in history. So kind of keeps you a little bit on the immortal side to some extent.
There you go. Now, has the podcast opened any additional doors? Have you been asked to teach in places where you normally wouldn't, or speak, or anything like that?
Well, I haven't been asked to speak anywhere, which is I was surprised. But I'm in the middle of the U.S. and both the there's a lot of activity on both coasts, but not necessarily in the middle. And I really haven't put anything on the website saying that I would do that. My wife has suggested I do that, and I would enjoy. You know, doing speaking and stuff like that. And so there's but otherwise it's just been more and more and more people. I have some people in China, and I've got people all over the world who listen and will send me emails and do all sorts of different things. I got an email a couple of weeks ago. As a matter of fact, I have so many people that send me an email that every 2 weeks on Sunday I do a question and answer section where I take the emails that came in and go through and answer their questions or do their comments. And I had one from one of the guys in China, and it was so fascinating because, of course, they have what's referred to as the Great Firewall of China.
Right.
And they block History According to Bob. They don't block Summa Historica. They don't know what that is. I guess it doesn't translate well in the Chinese. But this gentleman was saying that he received and he really enjoyed getting them. And then I said, I'm so glad that I'm making it through the Great Firewall at this particular point. And it's also been really great in sharing different ideas, because I'm pretty upfront talking about – I do a lot of world history because it's one of the lesser known histories, because just about every country does their own version of it. And I always talk about how this is my American version with some other pieces in it. And I did a show on Gallipoli, the Battle of Gallipoli. And I talked about in the end of it that the movie Gallipoli was really good for about the last 20 minutes. And I got lit up by the Australian New Zealanders because I was unaware that there was a Gallipoli Day. It is still one of their great national holidays. And that battle is the kind of the beginning of the shows the spirit of the Aussie. And they explained to me that that whole movie shows all sorts of different things. And from that point on, I began to ask people, you know, look, give me your version if you have a little different version, so we can kind of have a little exchange and stuff like that. And that's been fascinating. Probably about 25% of my listeners are outside the United States, but they're from all over.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, because that's where you do get you. Then you get to piece his parts together. You get to come to a consensus as to what really happened. That's very cool.
Yeah, and that's always odd, too.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you. I just wanted to point out this. I think it's a great idea that you have going on here, and it sounds like you're having a lot of fun, are you?
I have a lot of fun doing it. Some people say, well, you know, it's got to be kind of time-consuming. Well, you know, each show, by the time I take the notes and do all kinds of, it probably is an hour and a half or 2 hours per show to do a 10-minute or 15-minute show, unless it's one that I've done with my lecture material, and I don't need to do a whole lot of note-taking. But one of the things I've always also stressed is the sources, where I got my information, so that people can go look it up themselves and see what's going on.
Very cool. And, of course, they can find this at historyaccordingtobob.com, and it's definitely the other thing that kind of comes through is obviously you're very passionate about history, and we always tell people, you know, pick a subject that you're passionate about, and that
right.
just oozes through the speakers that you
well,
obviously
you.
Have a love of.
Well, I had
of
a lot
history.
Of bad teachers, and I had a lot of good teachers, and I think all the years of teaching history, the person's view of how the material is depends upon which of those two you had. There's no middle of the road. I can take history or leave it. They go, I hate it, you know. And then when you talk to them, they had some bad bad person who beat them up. And I had some really terrible teachers. And I said, man, if this is the way these people teach history, I got to be a teacher. It's good. I got to be able to do that'll be a great job, you know, work 9 months out of the year. And, of course, then you find out you got to go to school all the time. But,
right.
You know, it's not – it's that's how I kind of got started in the history. But – and this helps out. I've had a lot of there's a gentleman in Japan. He teaches a course on English, and they use my podcast since I'm a native speaker,
mm-hmm.
and they use those in the classroom. So it's kind of nice. I appreciate you talking with me.
Oh yeah, that would be probably I guess my last question. Have you had any other? You've had people ask questions and things like that. Do you know of anybody else besides the person in Japan that's actually using your content?
There are several people in England. I just got an email today from a gentleman in England who uses them in his coursework because they're getting ready to change their curriculum for teaching history. And so he has a question about significant issues and people in history. I know that I think there are a lot of people who use it in teaching history. Some of my old faculty from the high schools, I've had professors from different schools who use it. I've had people use it. I guess there are various colleges around the country actually have courses on podcasting,
mm-hmm.
and they use some of my material as examples. So there's no telling what it's actually being used for from all over, because I'll have people who write me a question. And, of course, I usually get 45 to 50 questions in that time period. I think mainly because most people think that, you know, I'm really overwhelmed and I can't get to their question. And now I probably will be overwhelmed with them. But and they're really happy when I read their question and whatever it is. And I kill to try to get some of my students in class to ask questions. Okay, like, don't you have a question? No, we understand it. And I give you a quiz, you don't understand it. Well, I didn't want to feel bad about asking that question. But with the email, people aren't afraid to ask question. And amazingly enough, I believe out of the whole time I've done question and answers, which is almost 2 years now, I've only gotten one goofy one where somebody was, you know. But I think the youngest person that I know of that listens is an 8-year-old. And then they go up from there. So they're all different demographics through the whole thing. I've had some people have done studies, and they'll call me and ask me about my demographics, because I did ask one time, and so some of the people will tell me when they send their material, their question in, what age group they fall into. And, of course, I've got it kind of broken down by countries and things like that. So I have some demographic studies.
All righty, there you go, Bob. I said, I think at the beginning of the podcast, The History According to Bob. That is incorrect. It's history. It's the, and then the website is historyaccordingtobob.com. I'll have a link to that, obviously, in the show notes, along with, if you're interested in how he's doing this technology-wise, it's a company called malls-e.com. It's Malls e-commerce, and it's a pretty tripped-out shopping cart is how they're pulling that off. And from what I've seen of it, it's free unless you want the Super Jumbo Deluxe model, and then it's $8 a month. And I was talking about that on my last week's episode of Weekly Web Tools. What's Weekly Web Tools, you said? Are you the person in charge of your website? Then come check out the Weekly Web Tools podcast at weeklywebtools.com. Each week, we spotlight and review tools. We discuss strategies on web design and promotion. We talk a little SEO, all with the intent of enhancing your website. The Weekly Web Tools Podcast. It's the podcast for the do-it-yourself webmaster. Check it out at weeklywebtools.com. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Thank you very much for tuning in. As always, any comments, questions, you can email me at dave@schoolpodcasting.com or call in your comments, 888-563-3228. Our website, schoolofpodcasting.com, and our show notes are at shownotes.schoolofpodcasting.com. Thank you very much for tuning in, and until we meet again, class dismissed.